Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, two dangerous throws from his own end zone for Josh Allen. And I'll tell you what, Sean McDermott's got to be saying the same thing. Aggressive is aggressive, but there's only 20 seconds left to go in regulation, and then we head to overtime, and there's 95 yards in front of us here. Going to throw it again from his own end zone and skip the pass, and now this is almost like they don't know the score of the game here, ladies and gentlemen. It's tied at 20-20, and now they're going to have to punt from their own end zone after three incomplete passes only took about 12 seconds off of the game clock. I am dumbfounded.
Scott Hansen on Red Zone. Dumbfounded. Worst play of the day, that one goes to Jordan Love. He had a pick six that was hilarious.
Yeah, doing his best Will Levis impression.
And then he came back and, you know, they were just fine.
Other dumb plays were there yesterday.
Other dumb plays.
Rodgers pick six.
Yeah.
The Jets have another one like that.
The Giants fumbling on the 1 yard line, like about to score.
Okay.
And then Cowboys Seattle returning at 101 yards for the touchdown.
That's a good win for the Giants, by the way. Really good win.
See what Dable did? I just saw this. Dable did after the game. Wandell Robinson went live on Instagram in the locker room after the win. And so the video is all of the Giants players. Like, Wandell Robinson's got his phone up, and he's recording everybody dancing. And then you hear Dable come in the background screaming, "Stop posting that bleep." And then he's like, "Oh, sorry." And then he like immediately turns it off. Dable, a good day for him. Listen, they looked actually not bad considering Malik Nabers was not out there.
Hey, guys, they won without Nabers. I think they should maybe look to move away from him, Nabers. You go on the road and win without Nabers.
Yeah. In part because Wandell Robinson is actually a very good
receiver.
He's
good, too.
He's a good
and
receiver.
Darius Slayton got a bunch of targets in this game. Call Joe Shane. I'll offer you two firsts and... Dwayne Smoot. I don't know why I just picked him. Go trade for Nabers. Clearly, the Giants have learned there's a formula to play without him.
Give him Rousseau if they want. I'll give him whatever they want for that guy. That guy's amazing.
803-0550. Mario in Jacksonville. Hey, Mario. Good morning. Welcome to Football Monday.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure thing.
I wanted to talk about this everybody eats mentality that's been going around, right, for the season. As a former flag football champion, I can tell you, even in flag football, you need to have someone who draws defenders away from the defense. It's not rocket science, if you will, to understand that if you have a star wideout or even a capable wideout on the first or second position, that you're going to open up the middle of the field, et cetera. So for them to think that taking away Diggs was simply to take away that receiver spot everyone else could eat, I don't really understand how they couldn't see the impact that having a star receiver, what that does for the entire offense. So I'm just – enough of this everybody eats stuff. I think everybody's starving is what they should start saying. But the thing that gets me most upset is I think we were kind of foolish – with these first three games, thinking that that was what the team was. I think now we can see that the front office knew, hey, this is going to be a down year. This is what it's going to be. And I still think they look at the numbers, they're crunching the books, and they're going to say, hey, the division isn't good. I think what we have here is enough to win the division this year. Let's not go spend the money. We might go make a play for Cooper, but let's face it. Cooper isn't what he used to be. He can't change this offense. He's not a Diggs. I really don't see them making a move, and I kind of see this unfortunately being a problem moving on if something doesn't change with the coaching staff in the front office, because at this point it's really a culture issue that they fail to engage with the media, the fans, anyone who's telling them, hey, please get some receivers. Give Josh some help.
Yeah, thanks, Mario. Okay, so to this. I'm not exactly torn on it.
I think that thinking is backwards, by the way.
Like, what's that?
I'm going to win the division, so that way I don't have to make any moves. What we have is fine. To me, that is... I don't need an Amari Cooper because he's not Stephon Diggs also. I don't care if he's Stephon Diggs. I care that he's better than Mac Hollins playing on the outside.
The question is, there's a bunch of this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, in the days and weeks ahead. The header for me that I'm going to start with is, I never believed for a second this is what the Bills wanted at receiver. I do not believe it for a second. Never did. This is where they are. It's what they have to deal with because of their cap. Because of the divorce with Diggs, which they did not want a year ago. You know, here they are. They're divorced now. They did not want this. They didn't. When Bean traded him, he said, we're not a better football team today. He knew that. And they didn't pull the trigger for an Ayuk trade. And they didn't trade up for a Dunze or Neighbors or Harrison Jr. or Brian Thomas, whatever. I never at any point believed, no, they really are going to see if this everybody... I think it was a marketing campaign, indeed. I think it was a PR campaign. It's, to me, everybody eats has as much seriousness as wearing shirts that say refuse to lose. Like, great, that's fine. I'm glad you have a slogan. At the end of the day, it's not really going to matter. What matters is win or lose, you know? And next year, they'll have cleared all that cap, and they'll have a bunch of picks. And, it was said on the broadcast maybe, and I want to start, like, saying it a different way. The Bills didn't.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a $31 million cap hit to get Diggs off the team. I mean, they did. But that's not the way I want to say it anymore. They took a $31 million cap hit for a second-round pick. That's what they did. And they traded him to a team they would reasonably expect to be a competitor with them. So, let's zoom out. They made two trades this offseason. Two. What two teams did they trade with, Joe?
Texans and Chiefs.
The Texans and the Chiefs. Not worried about what it does for them because I've got to do stuff for me. I want to move up in the third round. We're moving around. We're doing our thing. A team in transition would do that. A team in transition is, all right, I'm going to get that second round pick and I'm going to get that contract off my books. And, we'll dress it up with some everybody eats stuff and we'll see if Shakir can blossom, which it looks like he has, and if Kincaid can continue to grow and maybe Coleman flashes enough. And then next year, of course, we'll go out in free agency and try to hunt down T. Higgins or Deontay Johnson or in the draft Luther Burden or whatever. So, I don't want to get on them too much because there's the football side of it, and then there's the side that hits the social media feeds. And the football side of it is, and we got Mac Hollins out there at receiver, and it's definitely not ideal to pay a $1 million guy and get him six targets a game. That's the football side of it. What's the social media side of it? This guy doesn't wear shoes. we're having fun. He's a nice guy. Joe Brady called him his favorite human on earth, and that's all cool. Like the human interest side versus the competitive football side. And I think maybe we want to be careful not to blend the two too much. This team is still a good team. They probably will still get some production from Mac Hollins along the way. He'll get touchdowns. He'll get some yards. Coleman will have some more highlights. They'll have an offense that struggles against teams that can play man coverage from their corners. But if you think it's not negligence, it has been negligence. Right now, it's not. I don't think it's an inability to understand what good receivers are. I think it's a calculated decision to not go at it yet. And, they've waited long enough. But
well, to this point, what's their biggest opportunity since Diggs?
Since the Diggs trade, the biggest opportunities have been drafting one in the first or second or third rounds anywhere along the way. Like,
I just right. It was draft day because really, right. Veteran wise, I don't know what they've really had. Isn't like, what's their maybe Samuel okay. Was there? Like they really never got an Ayuk opportunity. Maybe no one ever really did.
If they could have kept Diggs, mm-hmm. The difference between keeping Diggs with the money you save there instead of Curtis Samuel, that could be Darnell Mooney, and I could have Diggs and Darnell Mooney and Keon Coleman mm-hmm. on this team.
Well, that's just the Samuel signing then, right? That would have been signing sure. A different receiver sure. Than Samuel so, for an extra couple million.
I don't want to go too far on how could they let this happen. I think they knew this was happening. The question is, will they get out of it? Will they decide an Amari Cooper or Devontae Adams rental is worth getting through this season? And then next year, they're going to hunt for their next digs. Bean tried to trade for Antonio Brown. He did trade for Stephon Diggs. You know, like, I never believed it. I never believed that this was, like, their idea of a good idea so much as this is something we're going to have to go through and we're gonna say a lot of things to make it sound good.
See, what also would you qualify, though, as, like, getting through their season? Because to me, when I think about them trading for a Cooper or Adams, like, to me, that is, you are probably going to make the playoffs, host playoff games, and I just don't want to throw away playoff games on this receiving core. Like, the idea of Cooper, to me, is you have him as a weapon by January, and he is going to help you win playoff games. Like, that to me, is it. I don't care about just getting through the season and squeaking in the playoffs. Like, to me, that, I think, should, at this point, look like it's almost assumed.
And there's the flags fly forever part of this. Can you remember another team that was good to okay and went out and traded for a wide receiver and won the Super Bowl? Because the Rams did that.
With Beckham.
They did it.
Beckham was going to win.
He was going to be the MVP. The whole game was designed for him to feast, and he was, and they held on and they won. But that was a team that, what did they finish, 10-7 that year? Or were they 12-5? I don't even really know. They went out and they got Beckham and they got Von Miller. And they won. 803-0550. We'll see. We got 24 days till the deadline. Maybe somebody else.
Start looking at just invite
somebody. You know, everybody each just invite somebody else over to dinner and have them bring a dish to pass. Because we need some more eating from these guys. Jeremy and Joe, we'll get the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal's coming up. Lots of calls. You're on hold. We'll get to you. And Sal, of course, all calls on a Football Monday on WGR.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.